Well, have you ever met a famous person and not recognized them? In the late 1990s, I was at a small Christian conference, and there were three generations of a family there. Grandparents, relatively youngish parents, and young children. And I talked with the granddad, who was a vicar, and he talked about his son as if I should know him. Something sporty, as far as I could see. Well, I looked at this bloke. He was tall, and he was just a bit skinny, as far as I could tell. I kind of thought, well, what on earth could he do in the range of sports? So I went home, and I talked with Martin, and I said, well, there was this vicar. I think he was somebody Edwards, and he talked about his son as if he should be sporty, but he was far too skinny to be sporty. So I said, what was his name? He said, oh, I think it was, kind of, was it John? Was it Jonathan? At which point he guffawed for ages and ages. I had been with the Olympic gold medal winner, Jonathan Edwards, and I just thought he was a bit skinny. But there we are. It can be really embarrassing. It can also be quite nice for the famous person, providing they're happy not to be recognised, because sometimes it's not very easy when wherever you go, people recognise you and treat you as something different. Well, our story today is of two men who walked with Jesus but did not at first recognise him. They'd had a very traumatic weekend. As Jesus' followers, they'd been with him through the week coming up to Passover. And we don't quite know what they expected. Something was happening as they came into Jerusalem with all those palms waving and cheers and everything else. Something seemed to be going on. Through Holy Week, things were building. What was going to happen? But then everything, as far as they're concerned, had gone just horribly, horribly wrong. Their hero, Jesus, had been murdered in the most horrific way. Everyone was terrified of what was going to happen next. Was this going to be a purge against his followers? They'd normally have been staying in the city. It was the end of Passover, or actually it was only the third day of Passover. So they would normally have stayed until the whole of the 8 days would have happened. But clearly they decided, as soon as the Saturday Sabbath was over, they would leave and they would go to Emmaus to, I don't know whether it was a home that they had there or a friend's home, we don't know. But they would leave Jerusalem. So they started walking through the Judean hills, a place I've walked. It's very beautiful. And this is a picture that gives you an idea of what it's like. Very lovely place to walk, particularly in the spring. And the village they were walking to was about 7 miles away, Emmaus. And they were talking with each other about what happened. And as they talked, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they didn't recognize him. And Jesus asked them, what are you discussing together as you go along? And they were very, very sad. They sort of said, are you the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened? And, you know, he played them on what things, and they spilled out the whole story. Jesus is Nazareth, somebody who was a great prophet, and yet he's been crucified. And then they told the story of the women, that there were these women who came, and they've told us they've seen angels, and that he's risen, and all of that story, and yet that seems so far away from the truth. How could they believe that? Have you ever had your hopes completely dashed? It can break you as a person. Maybe it was a career that never took off, or a job interview that dashed your hopes. Maybe it was children that never came along, or a relationship that broke down, or somebody you love very much who died. I think at the moment we're very aware of the global tragedies that we have around in New Zealand and Sri Lanka and California, these terrible terrorist tragedies against mosques and churches and hotels and synagogues. And we're aware of Mozambique having yet another cyclone worse than before. So it can be personal, it can be global, yet it always comes down to being personal individuals. Sometimes life can seem terribly cruel, and we just can't understand why. For these friends of Jesus, at that point, the cross was an utter nightmare. And the empty tomb seemed a mockery, a bunch of foolish people imagining what they wanted to imagine. When you feel like that, what you need is someone to come and listen to you. The best friend walks beside you and listens, which is exactly what Jesus did. He walked, he heard their story, and then he began to explain and began to gently challenge them. And it said that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, they would have known their scriptures well. They probably would have known them off by heart, because, I mean, a scroll like that in today's terms would probably be worth something like £100,000. No way could you have those lined up on your bookshelf. And so you would learn them. No way would your local synagogue have all of the scrolls unless they were very, very wealthy indeed. So you would learn it off by heart from your elders who would teach it to you, who had themselves learnt it off by heart. And so it was all up there, if you like. It was all uploaded. And so Jesus would just explain it. You know those passages in Isaiah. You know Isaiah 53 about the servant who would suffer. He could explain it. Why that was the Messiah. Why the Messiah had to suffer. Why it was the only way that he could deal with the wrong in the world, the wrong inside each one of us, and finish it so that ultimately it could have no power over us. So what seemed to be the complete dashing of hopes, the destruction of their world as they knew it, was in fact a pathway to new life through the miracle of the resurrection. I think it was probably a very slow walk to Emmaus that afternoon. I don't think they would have walked quickly. They would have had a long and slow discussion. They would have been asking questions, talking with Jesus. He would have been given answers. They would have been building up a picture as they walked with them. I like to think that they would say, hey, that means, what about that verse? That fits as well. And they would have gradually put that picture together. It would have been a slow pathway from despair to hope. And I think that can be the same for us. Yes, we can know the answers. Jesus died for us, for the whole universe, to give a fresh start, to reconcile all things, to break the power of everything horrible, to give us a fresh hope. We can know it, but it can seem very far away. We can seem to be on a very long road and not quite get there. And those two disciples began to understand, but they were longing to understand more. They were longing to hear more from Jesus, this man who they didn't recognize, walking with them. He seemed to know something they didn't fully comprehend. They'd never had teaching like this before, except perhaps when Jesus was with them. So they urged him to stay with them, and he agreed. And as I said before, we don't know. There obviously was a home there for them to go to, whether it was their own or a friend's or a relative's, we don't know, but they were there. I remember a few years ago, at the end of the service, we receive our offering, and I don't normally say the traditional prayer, partly because it's a bit long and complicated, and I get all the words muddled up, but I remember saying it. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. And someone came up to me at the end of the service and said, I remember that prayer. That was just like David Gregg. Now, for those of you who don't know David, he was the vicar here in the 1990s, and that was the time when the particular prayer book we had at that time used that prayer for the offering, and it was used very, very frequently. I think actually the words were slightly different. As I said it, I thought, that's not quite right, because you know so well the words, don't you, and how they fit. Well, I don't know exactly what happened all those years ago in that home in Emmaus when Jesus broke bread. It was Passover time still, so it would have been unleavened bread. All those pictures, I think one got up there, that you see of the nice fluffy loaves, it would have been unleavened bread. There would have been special blessings that would have been traditionally said. And with Jesus, it probably would have been quite frequent that we've got a whirlwind coming in. It's a move of the Spirit. Pentecost is coming a bit quick. It's not the rain outside anyway, that's good. Jesus would often have said the blessings, I'm sure, when they all broke bread together. And he would have often said the blessings when they broke bread together when it was Passover time. And so, was it the words that he used? Did he use particular words that they recognised that other people didn't use so much? Was the way the intonation of his voice? You know what it's like when you've got a vicar, you know exactly how they're going to say certain words, don't you? You know how they're going to do the blessing, how they're going to do this, how they're going to do that after a while. Was it that? Was it the way that he broke the bread? That way. I'll use the lectern. Right, can you see me? That's better. I'll just move the Bible so I can put my notes up. I'm sure he didn't have to worry about microphones, did he? So was it the way he broke the bread? Or was it they saw the marks on his wrists, his hands, as he lifted them to break it? We don't know. What we do know, it was at that moment that they recognised who he was. They recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared from them. And at that moment, they realized that somehow they had recognized him all along, but they hadn't really realized they'd recognized him. Their hearts were burning within them. Hope is really funny stuff. Hope can break through when we least expect it. When it comes, it just doesn't seem to respect the territory of despair. Before it comes, everything is bleak, and we cannot imagine that we'll ever have hope again. Then it breaks through. A tiny shoot that seems so small, so vulnerable, you wonder how it can actually ever push through those hard, cracked ground of despair. Push through kind of tarmac over the top of it. And yet it does. And suddenly we have a glimpse of life again. We don't know how they recognized Jesus, but we know they did. And we know at that moment they were filled with joy, filled with hope. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They had so much hope and joy that it says that they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, running back the 7 miles. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It's true, the Lord is risen, and he has appeared." And they told what had happened and how Jesus was recognized them as he broke the bread. Well, Jesus invites us to his table today. It is an invitation to meet with him. Just like his disciples, you don't need to have everything worked out. You just need to come. He offers a hope that won't solve everything, won't turn a barren situation into a rainforest, but you will see that little shoot of life begin to push through the cracks of your life. You will see the start of something new. Jesus makes himself known to us. Trust him, and your eyes will be opened. Amen.